Hi, everybody. It's Jim Beekhey. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. As oftentimes I come into my podcast and I've been accumulating stuff throughout the week. I've got examples. Something fires me up. So what fired me up today is I was thinking about the type of client that I am. And a long time ago, I've come to the realization that I'm a client that requires leadership. And that I know what I know and I know what I don't know. And I need people to help me get out of I don't know what I don't know, which, as I've said many times before, is trial and error trust. Trial and error is expensive, and trust is hard to find someone that you can trust without it being too expensive. But what I find in people trying to support different people is they don't do the fundamental stuff. Everybody's sending me in the can proposals. And a video company that I was working with that I wanted to put together a video for a TEDx promotion and for a TEDx application. And, you know, I took the time in advance to explain to them who I was. You know, one of the things that's really important to me is for people to read my book, whether it's people I'm coaching, whether it's people that I'm going to pay to do things. You know, Katie, before you and I even started, one of the first things I said is, I like people to get me, right? To get who I am and what I'm trying to do. You know, the book True Fit really makes that clear. And it sort of sets the groundwork and the boundaries and the parameters of how I think about life and experience and stuff like that. And then I hope that that person that I work with takes that all into account and sort of says, okay, this is how I envision working with Jim. This is what I think he needs, and this is how I would go about it. Instead of, you know, let me open the drawer, pull out file number 47, and send that thing off to him, because I've sent it to 250 other people, and hopefully that it'll land and resonate. It always disappoints me that people do that. And it's a little bit of investment to stop and sort of think about the client. Not to change yourself, because part of that thinking about the client might be, you're too crazy for me and I'm not going to be working for you, which is okay. I would rather have someone. But so many people are so preoccupied with how much they're going to charge me. I've spent tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on people to help me accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. And the only good money I ever spent was with Katie and Emily Gillis and Sinead on my website. And also, by the way, the guy that did the audiobook with me, he was fantastic. You know, people always say, well, is it too expensive? I said, well, paying a dollar is too expensive if it's shit. It's not about how much you pay. It's the value for what you pay. And if you don't have the decency to actually take a moment beforehand, like I won't coach people that when I say, have you read the book? I tell them, first of all, read the book. Take a crack at the infomercial, and then let's talk. And then they phone me, and I said, did you read the book? And they go, no. No, you know, I got busy. But, you know, like, can't we just start? No, we can't start. It's a prerequisite. It's a prerequisite. It's like brushing your teeth in the morning. It's like putting your clothes on before you go to work. It's a prerequisite. If you don't want to read the book, tell me you don't want to read the book. The book's $9.99. If you don't have $9.99, I'll send you the book for free, but it's the action of you committing to me that you have an interest in doing something. And maybe it's just me. I keep finding the wrong fit, which is true on these things, but people keep doing the same thing. And then they tell me they're going to do it. And then they send me a proposal and it's not even close to what I'm looking for. It's their proposal. And they say they listen to me, but they don't really listen to me. Because if they really listened to me, they might say at the end, I'm not the right person for you on that. You know, or, you know what? I'm not the right person, but I know who you should talk to, right? And which I would have so much more respect for them. And I would probably be inclined to figure out a way to pay them for their work and everything else. But it's so disappointing to waste that hour that I wasted explaining what is important to me. And to have somebody say to me constantly, no, I get that. Absolutely. No, that sounds great. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can do that. I could name all of these people throughout my life in this business, right? And this is how, you know, quite frankly, this is how I ended up never using a recruiter when I hired all those people in New York City, because every recruiter was giving me the standard pitch. And I was trying to get them to understand, no, I'm looking for something different. I'm looking for you to understand, like, put yourself in my shoes. I say to people all the time now, I'm the wrong person for that. My pitch is me. Like, I know there's a lot of money in this thing, but I'm really not the person you want. You want a person who's going to give you a weekly spreadsheet, 50 different things. And that's not me, right? And they go, well, why not? You know, I'm the client. Shouldn't you? I said, no, but you want to find the right person. And I guess, you know, in this particular space, social media, marketing, advertising, PR, I don't know whether I've just been snake bitten and I've never found anybody that's really good. Katie's done it for me, but it's not her specialty. And she's been kind enough to do it for me. But I haven't found anybody because everybody gives me the same standard pitch. And by the way, that video those people did, I mean, it was like a rap video. I'm 67 years old and had music and shooting stars. And their proposal was telling me how they helped this, you know, P. Diddy sort of lookalike go from this to this with the age group of 18 to 22. And I'm like, seriously? Like, did you not see me on the screen? That's not what I'm looking for. And that's okay. But I guess the message I'm trying to get to people, don't be so desperate to make the money that you embarrass yourself. You know, I always laugh about best practices because what happens is someone does something that is sort of contrary to best practice. Then all of a sudden it takes off like wildfire and everybody goes, wow, that came out of left field. Yeah, because who knows what's best practice? Guys at Instagram put photos on a website, which there were probably 100 other websites you could have done it before. But, you know, everybody kind of, well, that's kind of stupid. Like, who's going to do that? Yeah. $1 billion later. Thank you very much, Facebook. And their billion is now worth 20 or 30 billion, right? They've changed the world the way the world went. You know, I remember the beginning of YouTube. So I don't believe that there is a standardized way to do anything. But there are good ways and there are bad ways. And they don't fit everybody the same. What's a good way for Katie is not a good way for me, possibly. It could be, but it's not. So if you're in the service business, which we all are, think about it, right? Think about reflecting yourself accurately, doing your own prejudge. Like, this person makes me uncomfortable. I don't feel good about working with them. Not in a bad way, just your vibe, right? I was reading something recently about trusting your gut, right? You know, and I truly believe it, that your body gives you signals, right? So trust your gut, you know, just in that interaction. Are you comfortable in that interaction? If you're not comfortable, just say, look, like, I'm sorry, you know, let me recommend you to somebody else. And I know that the standard answer for me on this always is, well, it's nice to have that kind of luxury, not to be able to make money, need the money or anything else. And it's not a matter of that. Don't you really believe that if you find the right people to work with, you will be more successful? That it's not a question of all or none. It's a question of taking the time to seek out the right people to work with. They're not all going to be the same, but they're all going to have a commonality to them. They're all going to have a commonality that resonates with you. And if all you do is reach into your drawer, pull out presentation number 452 and send it to someone, you look like you don't listen. And at the end of the day, it'll be totally random whether you get the right people or you don't get the right people. So enough about that. If I offend anyone, I'm really sorry. My objective is not to offend. It's to actually help you. Think about what this person has said to you. What are they looking for? What do they want from you? You know, it's like when Katie and I were talking, you know, obviously I don't want to be Tony Robbins. And I sure as hell don't want to be that guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, or whatever he is, who just amazes me that his profanity and his whole way of being has 68 million people or something follow him. And he's insulting, you know, he's truly insulting to people. And the fact that people actually be enjoyed, I mean, I don't even follow him, but I can't stand to be insulted by somebody like that, right? But clearly there is a population of people. And then, you know, Tony's at the other end of the spectrum, which is, you know, he's selling hope, right? And expensive hope. But hey, to each his own. He attracts a certain people. Gary attracts a certain people. And I attract a certain people. And I would like to just, on that note, sort of say a shout out to those of you that have been reposting, those of you that have been re-forwarding my podcast to others, because I appreciate it. And I've had a lot of good, positive response. As I've said to all of you, if you want to reach out to me, I'm happy to give you a, you know, 1 hour chat and talk to you and try to help you out. So, okay. So that's enough about that. You know, the war rages on, the tragedy of it all, reminiscent of what my family might would have gone through when they left us and so many other immigrant families. It's just terrible. And, you know, we've kind of had a reunion with part of our family, not all of it. Some are sort of missing, working, everything else. And I was thinking this morning when I was kind of having my coffee sitting outside, I was thinking that, you know, this whole pandemic, this whole dislocation, everything else, people are starting to get back to their lives. But we seem to always sort of focus on the big things, like the big thing of my job, the big thing of getting a house, or the big things. And we seem to have been lost, you know, living in the small moments, whether it's just, in my particular case, sitting there for a moment with, you know, my grandson, Robbie, or my granddaughter, Harper, and just, I've really found myself over these last several weeks and months focusing my attention on the small stuff. I'm not even looking at my portfolio, my stocks. I sent the guy back a note and said, call me when it's at zero or when it's doubled. But in the meantime, you know, because I'd get the sheet every day and look at it. And then I just thought, it's just too much anxiety. It's just way too much anxiety. And I started looking for ways to focus on the little things in life that are pure and joyful and just fill my heart with happiness and lots of chuckles and laughs. And I've been reaching out to a few friends of mine that I probably haven't spoken to in a long time with no particular agenda or anything else, just to sort of say, hey, you know, we haven't chatted. How you doing? You know, how are things going? How's your family? You know, how's your husband? How's your wife? How are your kids? What are your kids doing? And it's been great for me, and I selfishly do it for me, but it's been a great response from people as well, as they sort of say in the conversation, you know, it's nice to talk just about some happy things, right? Because the world fills with so many unhappy things that we've kind of lost track of the little things. We sat out the other night and there was this massive thunderstorm, like, I mean, drops the size of cantaloupes coming down. And we were all just sort of sitting there and chuckling and telling stories. And we've been telling a lot of stories about when the kids were kids. I can't remember any of them, tell you the truth. But it's fun when you're in those situations and everybody guffaws and laughs, and then someone laughs too hard, and then someone laughs because they're laughing, and the whole thing becomes just kind of takes over itself. And we've been playing board games and we've been doing all kinds of things. And it's been a great trip like that. There's been no sort of stress. Okay, we got to book restaurant. Everyone's tired. Everyone's just kind of chilling and hang out. I think the grandkids probably help out in that process. So take that time. I know it's been great for me and my wife and everybody in my family. Just think about the small moments, right? Think about, you know, when you're in the shower in the morning as you're doing your yoga, your exercise class, or just sitting with your family and looking at them. Let yourself think about those happy moments. We're obsessed and overwhelmed with unhappy news. We're obsessed and overwhelmed with where are we going? How are we getting there? You know, what's happening in my career and all of these types of things. And at the end of the day, you know, the only thing that remains constant is the love of your family and the love of yourself. And I think if we lose that, and I think we have lost that in the last several years, there's just so much shit going on. But I think that's what adds to the mental stress. I think if you're comfortable in that, and I know this has been a spectacular week for me with the family, it's really recharged my batteries. And I think it's really recharged all of theirs as well, and sort of makes us focus on life's journey, which, as I said before, is not a dress rehearsal. Okay, so that's all I have this week. Again, take those moments for yourself. Take those moments. It's okay to feel stressed. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. And let's find ways to focus our attention on the little things in life that make us happy. And let's, when we sit down at the end of the day, ask ourselves little things and people that make us happy, don't forget. Spend more time with those people, less time with those other people, as we've talked about before. And let's focus our attention on us and making ourselves happy, because if we can make ourselves happy and be happy with ourselves, we'll have better relationships with everyone. Back to those people from the beginning. Do a little research. Figure out whether the client's for you. And don't make yourself look like an ass. I'm Jim Bakey. The podcast is Be You. The World Will Adjust.